We've been learning by Arichas, really all by way of Hakdama, by way of introduction. There are certain things that are obstructing, a certain mindset that's obstructing our ability to experience the natural flow of Simcha that each and every one of us should, that each and every one of us should be experiencing in life. Because of that, because of the Metzias that we're Baruch Hashem, we're Jews, and we have within us a Chelek Elokom Imal, the presence of Hashem Mamash. So we've been talking about a certain way of looking at life that is preventing us from experiencing that natural Simcha. And as a result of that, that straightness, that Yashvus, of how each and every one of us was created, has been distorted. So that we're not able to experience, to feel the natural Simcha that is flowing within us. Simcha is not something that has to be created or generated. That's what we've been learning. Simcha is the natural state of a Jew. A Jew is a child of Hashem. And naturally there's a state, naturally he should be, she should be in a state of Simcha and should feel that. But there are problems, there are issues that we've been talking about that are preventing that experience. At the end last week, we finished with reading a little bit from Rav Kook, from the Eretz HaTshuva, where we understand that, of course, tshuva in its initial stage is associated with pain. The pain of tearing ourselves away from certain ideas, certain way of feeling, of speaking, of acting that we've become accustomed to, that we've grown used to. And that hurts. Nevertheless, as we learned at the end last week, instead of a person becoming depressed at realizing one's mistakes, especially when it comes to the time of Elul, the time of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when Hashem is demanding that we make an accurate cheshbon nefesh and we take account of who we are and where we're holding. Instead of dreading that, in fact, on a deeper level, we should experience the joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us by the hand and leading us to that zoo inside, to those problems that we were talking about, so that we'd be able to have the schus of no longer deluding ourselves and having the unbelievable privilege of cleaning up the mess, although it hurts and it's painful and it takes long. It's not simple. Nevertheless, the joy of no longer living with the delusion and the mistake and the lie, and the simcha of beginning that work towards restoring who we really are, that is the exaltation that we sense at the time of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Now, the rest of the handout that I hope that you'll have and you'll finish Mitzvah Hashem at home, he takes all of the concepts that we've been talking about these past few weeks and weaving them in the most beautiful, magnificent way into the Yontif of Sukkot. Everything with the Arba Minim and sitting in the Sukkah and Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeret is really fantastic. But I feel that we need to now turn our focus towards the positive aspect of Simcha, and how to view Simcha and what it means to us, and how we can strengthen our connection to that Midas HaSimcha. And Bez Hashem, I hope that before Zman Simcha Sein you'll have the opportunity to look at the rest of the teachings of the Tzaddik of Silberberg. You'll find them very, very enjoyable, and obviously bringing home everything that we've been talking about within the context of Zman Simcha Sein. But what I gave out, what you have now in front of you, excuse me, what you have in front of you is part of a sikha that the same tzaddik gave during the month of Adar, by way of preparing for the Yontif of Purim. Purim has its own unique role, its own unique place in the world of Simcha. What we're learning now is going to be a continuation of what we've been learning until now. Well, we're going to start now. So, actually, it's more than the three pages, but just because of the photostatting limitations, we just began right now. So, you should have in front of you Tuf Ayin Aleph, Tuf Ayin Beis, and Tuf Ayin Gimel. And we'll begin with Gimel, where it's circled, it says Ayis Gimel. Okay, let's learn together. Yehudi murkav miguf u'neshama. Okay, since the time that we're here and since the time that we've been learning, we know that a Jew is composed of a guf, a body, and a neshama, a soul. Haguf hu ofra min ha'adama. This is the paradox of our life, that on the one hand, the guf, the body, is a clump of dirt, comes from the earth. V'ha neshama hu nishmas chayim. But the soul, the neshama, is a nishmas chayim. It's a living soul. Chelak elokam yimal mamish, a portion of the living God, a portion of Hashem Himself. V'yesh b'zariches dvar m'dvar mamukim ve'ein kan hamokim laharach b'zeh. Of course, this is a very, very involved subject. Oh, thank you. This is a very, very involved subject. The question of the relationship between the body and the soul. That we all find ourselves in this situation. And that's not the point to go into the whole arichas of what that means and how we're to understand that relationship. Now you know that the body is composed, according to our Chachamim, the body is composed of four basic elements. Of earth, wind, fire, and water. And Reb Chaim Vital, based upon the teachings of the Arizal, discusses at length, I'm sure many of you have learned about this, how each physical component of our existence corresponds to certain midas that we have, certain characteristic traits. So, for instance, Kol arba yisaydi sheish beguf garmem lemidas shaynis v'tadas shaynis. All of these elements of the four elements of our physical bodies cause there to be certain different midas and taivas and desires. Kedum esvarma kedoshim. So, for instance, v'yisayd ha'ofer moishech v'garim atzvus v'atzlus. Now, if we're to understand the midah of simcha, and simcha is a midah. It's not just something that happens. There's a midah that's called simcha. If we are to understand the midah of simcha and be able to work towards attaining and strengthening our connection to the midah of simcha, we have to understand the force that is opposed to simcha. Ofar, earth, that element of earth or dirt is the source of the midas in us, the midas of atzvus and atzlus. Sadness and laziness. These are two of America's favorite pastimes. Atzvus and atzlus. Sadness, depression, and laziness both come from the yesod ha'ofer, come from that element of earth, which one can understand even on the simplest level without going into what Rabbi Chaim Vital explains and the Tanya and all the other Svarim. We understand that if we were to think, for instance, of water or air or fire, there are differences in terms of what midas those engender, but we understand that there's a liveliness, they're labedic. The air, the fire, the water, there's a life to them. There's a certain passion and warmth. Ofar means the deadness of the earth, the inability for a person to feel motivated and joyous and happy. So the earth, that heaviness, the weightiness of earth, of that element, is the source of atzvus and atzlus. Two of our greatest enemies that are so intimately connected. Everybody knows that when you're sad, you're lacking in strength, you're lacking in koiches. You don't have the energy to do anything. You just would rather take a quart of ice cream and bury yourself in it or something and go to sleep. But as far as being active and feeling a cheshik to live, when a person is sad, it saps him of all of his energy. Which is why, generally, a person who is depressed or sad is so vulnerable when it comes to aveiros, to the Eitz Sahara. As the Tanya discusses at length, only a person who's excited, only a person who has a will and desire to live, has the energy, has the adrenaline to fight. I spoke about this some months ago in the shul. What we're seeing now in Eretz Yisrael Hashem Yirachem, the conflict between the Sinim, between the Yishma'elim Yimach Shema, and our people. There's a concept in Halacha that's called Kol Da'alam Gvar. Kol Da'alam Gvar means that if I feel that something is mine, I'm going to fight. If I believe with all of my heart that this is mine, let anybody try to take away from any of you, God forbid, one of your children, Chas v'Shalom, or grandchildren, you'll discover within yourself a strength and energy that you never ever believed you had. You never saw in your life that you had such energy. Or if another Jewish child, God forbid, or anybody that you love, you would discover that you're able to run faster than you ever knew, that you're stronger than you ever believed, that you're more chutzpahic than you ever imagined, right? When you believe that this is yours, and you're infused with a desire to have it, so then you obviously, you have more energy, you have more chiyas. Derech Agav, this is a problem, this is a terrible, terrible problem right now in Eretz Yisrael. The Palestinians fervently and passionately believe that it's theirs. And Jews who no longer have a religious connection to Eretz Yisrael, who don't believe in the promise of Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard for them to feel that same passion and that same love. And if you don't have the passion or love, then you don't have the chiyas to fight. You don't have the desire to fight or the strength to fight. So when a person is depressed, when a person is sad, which is also the matzah right now in Eretz Yisrael, understandably. A friend of mine I spoke to yesterday from Eretz Yisrael told me the whole place is a big Tisha B'Av. When a person is sad or depressed, he doesn't have that motivation. Atzvus and atzlus are two sides of one coin, sadness and laziness. And they come from the Yisoid HaOfer. The Yisoid HaOfer, Moshech V'Gerim Atzlus V'Atzlus, Hepech HaSimcha, laziness, sadness and laziness are the opposite of joy, of Simcha. Sadness and laziness are the antithesis of zrizes, of what, alacrity, of enthusiasm, of exuberance. V'hanishoma, the soul in of its own, is mole simcha. The soul is filled with joy. The neshoma is mole simcha, as we learned these previous weeks. Oiz v'chedva b'mkaymai. In elokus and godliness, in the neshama, is molei simcha. It's filled with joy. Chelek elokam yimal, a portion of God Himself. Ois v'chedva v'mkayma, and with God, with Hashem is baruch, there's only joy and delight. Nishmas chayim, chay chayim. The soul of life, the chay chayim, the source of all life, is Hashem. The opposite of the earth, which is inanimate, which is lifeless, which doesn't have any life. Hashem, the neshama, which is chelak eloko, which is godliness, the neshama is the embodiment of all that is alive. It is the essence of life. It's the embodiment of life. The guf is primarily defined. The body is primarily defined as ofram and ha'adama. That's how Hashem created us. Ofram, the physical part of us, is primarily Ofram and Hadama. Vayitzah Hashem l'kim sa'adam, Ofram and Hadama. A clump of dirt. The Ofram and Hadama is lifeless. The neshama, this is the depth of the paradox. The neshama is chai ha'chayim, is the life of all life. And the Ofram and Hadama, the earth is death of all death. Ulefnei achet harishon, the bottom of the page. Ulefnei achet harishon, shahaya bor v'nika, shahan neshama. Before Adam and Chava ate from the tree, it was clear that the neshama, that the soul, was the source of life, and that the neshama was the essence of man's existence. It was clear. V'aguf hayirak malbush mamish, and the body was what? The body was was merely a garment for the soul, and it was seen as such. Rabbi Nachum Breslov, as I mentioned in the past, was only 38 years when he died. And he was very sick. He had tuberculosis. And for some time he was coughing up blood. It's a miserable, miserable disease and death. And his family was standing around in Chassidim, and they were crying when they saw Rabbi Nachman in such a state of sickness. And it wasn't long before he would leave the world, and he knew that and they knew that. And Rabbi Nachman said, "Why are you crying? To me, going from this world to the next world is no more than changing my bekesher. It's just changing from a weekday coat into a Shabbos coat. There's no difference to me." The tzaddikim, even in this world, after the chait, after the sin, their neshama is so, so clear to them that physical life is no more than a garment, a malbush. Kaisnois or ba'alef. I'm sure many of you recall what he's referring to here is the fact that it says in the Torah that after Adam and Chava sinned, Hashem prepared for them garments of or of skin. Garments of skin, of material, of whatever, leather. And in the Torah it's written or, of course, with an ayin, which is skin. But the Gemara Chazal tells us that in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, which is fascinating, his name is Rabbi Meir, that wasn't even his real name. But in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, it said, kosnos or, garments of or with an aleph, garments of light. So don't ask, what about the Sefer Torah? It's not kosher. This obviously on a deeper level. It doesn't mean that if you looked in the Sefer Torah, it was possible. Obviously, it was spelled correctly. But on a deeper level, Rabbi Meir revealed through his teachings the kosnos or, the original garments of light. Kosnos or ba'aleph. Haya Adam Harishim. Shahikolokal neshamas. In Adam Harishon were all future neshamas. Molei simcha v'chiyas. Wearing that garment of skin, dash, light, where the meaning of that is that his physical body not only was not an encumbrance, not only was it not something that separated him from God, but the body itself was shining with the light of the neshama. Akadekach was shining with the light of the neshama. Children, it used to be, I guess, until they were 16, 17, now it's much harder to hold on to the innocence, that children should remain innocent, but when you look at a child, you get a little bit of a taste of the kaisnais or, where their body is just a garment of the neshama, a very thin veil that covers the essence, which is the neshama. Not unfortunately, they grow older, we want to grow older, but with aging, we move further and further away from that tmimus, from that pureness of how were we created, and the body becomes more skin-like, and the aleph of the original or begins to take on the properties of the ayin of the physical body. But with little children you could still see, and even in adults, in the eyes, it's still possible to see a glimpse of the inner life of the person. That's why, according to halacha, one is not allowed to gaze into the eyes of a rasha. It's one thing to see a rasha, but one should never stare at the eyes of a wicked person. It could damage someone. It could hurt you. And it certainly is wonderful to gaze into the eyes of a holy person. Aval acheid garam, what happened? Aval ahayi inyan mitzvah klal. There was no death in the world. Aval acheid garam b'yoymach olchim menemais tamuz. The chait, the sin of Adam and Chava, brought death into the world. And what does death mean? Death means his gabrus haguf. It means the victory of the clump of dirt, of earth. It means the victory on some level of the earth, of physical life, over the essence of the soul in this world. In the end, of course, the neshama is going to be victorious, there'll be tchias emesim. But how could there be death? There could only be death if the guf, if the physical body is misgaber, overpowers the soul. And from the time of Yoyma Cholcha Mimenu, from the time of Adam and Chava eating from the tree, this is the condition of man's existence. That the ofar, the dirt, the guf, has taken on greater significance than the soul. which is why we cover our bodies and why clothing is so important now, and the whole meaning of tznius, as per a discussion that's not for now. Ofra ator vil afort v'la ofra toshuv. As it says in Pasuk, you come from the dirt and you shall return to the dirt. That is death. V'hischel ha'inyin shel hippach ha'simcha. From that moment began the kingdom of sadness. Sadness began that moment that the guf, that the body, that the offer, that death became more significant than life. That the guf, that physical life, became stronger than the chaya chayim, the neshama of a person. That's when sadness came to the world. Be'itzavan tachlana, as it says in Bereishis, after the chait. Now your existence will be what? Be'itzavan will be with sadness. His gabrus yisayid ha'ofer. Sadness means the empowerment of the yisayid ha'ofer, of the element of dirt. That's what sadness is. The empowerment of the yisayid ha'ofer. Be'itzavan tachlana. And the result is, we will now lead our lives struggling with sadness. V'yesh b'zarichis, this is a very, very involved subject. V'ein kan hamokim laharif b'zeh. The next page. V'kol Yehudi, that's Tuf Ayin Beis. For those who came a little bit late, I don't know if there are any of the pages that are still there. If not, just look on with one of the chaveiros. So now what about Simcha? How do we retrieve that? So obviously we know that we have to find our way somehow back to Gan Eden. We have to find our way back to Gan Eden while being surrounded by Gehenna. How do we find our way back to Gan Eden? And this is the only sure way of achieving Simcha. All the other mahalchim that you'll read about simcha this, simcha that, and try to think of this, try to think of that, all of the other mahalchim to achieve simcha are temporary, are short-lived, are more like little injections of simcha. But how does one create a lifestyle of simcha? That's the question. A lifestyle of simcha. How is one able to live in this world and be a normal, healthy, well-adjusted person in this world, and at the same time be able to have one foot in Gan Eden in a good way, I mean in this world, in Gan Eden? How? V'chol Yehudi. It's not a simple thing. You see why most people just, many people just choose drinking and narcotics as a way of getting around all of this. There's no easy way. V'chol Yehudi kama shemagbir koyach ha'neshama. That is the only way. The only way that works, that lasts, and that will carry you till you're 120. To be magbir koyach ha'neshama. When your spiritual life is more important than your physical life. Doesn't mean that you neglect yourself. Doesn't mean that you don't put on your makeup or buy yourself that nice outfit. That's not what it means. But to be magbir koyach ha'neshama, shahaneshama shelo yeh ikar, that the neshama should be the ikar. Sound, this is simple words. Things nowadays look much firmer than they did 30, 40, 50 years ago. They look that way. So there should be much more simcha. You would think there were so many people covering their hair, and you would think there were so many people in yeshiva, and with so many Shemesh Shabbos delicatessens, you would think that Jews would be happier, no? L'chayru, they should be happier than ever before. Because never before have simple Jews had such easy access to the neshama. Our grandmothers and grandfathers, unless they were learning, and how long were they able to learn, unless they were fortunate? Who was the rare individual who was able to stay in Torah and learning after the age of 16, 17? Somebody had promised maybe to be a rav or a dayan, otherwise it was very hard. Life was very hard. They had to go to work. Women b'chlal didn't have yeshivas or schools until, as you know, relatively a short time ago. Nowadays, a person who doesn't read a word of Lashon HaKodesh can enjoy beautiful svarim, can buy English svarim, can learn, can grow, can daven, can have access to the most wonderful spiritual things. If somebody's interested in Chassidus, a Kabbalah, they can read it someplace. They can read about it. Mostly it's not kosher stuff, but it's a couple of kosher things too. They can read it. So you would think that the Jewish people should be the happiest ever. Because never before has the neshama been as available. Never before have we had such access to the soul as we have now. That simple people like us can talk about these things. Our babies and Zaydis didn't talk about these things. Maybe a little bit, if they were learning certain, that the Zaydis were learning. Babi is very rare. There were such people. So we should have a lot of simcha now. Yeah? Shemag bekarach neshomesh, and neshomesh liha ike, v'haguf tafel. When the neshama is primary, the soul is the essence of your life, and that's what gives you hope and joy and excitement. And physical life is a levush, is a garment that has to be cared for and tended to. Then the person lives in a state of joy. Kach masig yoyse simcha v'chiyas. Then the person has more simcha and more chiyas. Therefore, of course, the answer to what I was saying before, a moment ago, is why don't we have more simcha? Because the fact, just because things look firmer than they used to, and just because it seems that way, doesn't have any bearing, in my opinion, upon whether or not ruchnis is more important to people than their gashmis. Except now we have a new mitzvah, that you could have people that they're shomer mitzvahs, and they live indulging, and going through the motions of being religious Jews. When one had to fight for his Yiddishkeit, when Yiddishkeit was something that one had to work for and struggle for, if you were religious, it's because you wanted it and you meant it. But when it comes in such a way where we have, it's one of the sad side effects of the accessibility of Yiddishkeit, which is a tremendous bracha, is that for many, many people it has very little meaning anymore. It has very little meaning. With everything on the outside looking a certain way. And one of the most seductive suggestions of the Yetzer Hara is, this is the most powerful suggestion, the most powerful thought that is planted into our minds from the earliest time. The Yetzer Hara tells us that you will find simcha and menucha by achieving greater physical success. That's where your simcha, where your joy and your menucha lies. Mashakarim hayom sipuk. What's called sipuk? Satisfaction. Satisfaction. A delicious malbim is nice, but it's hard to compete with a good piece of kugel or a nice piece of cake. That's the bottom line. Aval ha'emes gilu ha'tzadikim ki chol inyonei oylem hazeh afim tchilosam masok. The tzadikim have taught us, Chazal have reminded us over and over, that when it comes to things of this world, if you hang your hopes on this world, in this world the Seder is that at the beginning it's sweet, soifam mar ma'od, but in the end, for the one who's hanging everything and depending upon what he has as opposed to who he is, the end is bitter. Ofram and ha'adama mamish, the taste of dirt, the taste of the earth, that's what it is. But it's so different when it comes to inyan ha'neshama, when it comes to the, it's just the opposite when it comes to inyan ha'neshama, matters of the soul. Afim haschol is cautious, even though when it comes to spiritual things, all beginnings are difficult. And if you don't feel any difficulty, it just means that you haven't begun. If your Yiddishkeit comes to you very easily, it just means you haven't started. A person could be 30, 40, 50 years old. You just might be doing what your parents told you, or your rabbi, or your teacher. But if you're beginning to be a Jew on your own, it must be difficult, because there's a rule. Kol haschalos koshes. All beginnings are difficult. All beginnings. Chazal didn't say, yesh haschalos koshes. Chazal said, kol haschalos koshes. So then how come Shabbos is so easy for us? How come davening is so effortless for us? Because we haven't even started. Do you understand? It's a little bit depressing, and I don't mean to make anybody sad, so then you just don't have to believe me. We haven't even started. But you ask about tshuva, who's new to Yiddishkeit. So they feel that milchama, that war, of kolas cholas koshes. If it's not kosher, it means we didn't start. That's what Chazal is saying. Because kolas cholas koshes. So when it comes to spiritual things, Afim haschalos koshes, even though the beginning is painful, is difficult, kolaschalos koshes, al mikan ve'elech yerev lechem. The Rebbeinu Shlom promised that mikan ve'elech, that if you get past the beginning, mikan ve'elech yerev lechem, that it will become sweet. It's just the opposite. Here the bitter becomes sweet, as opposed to the other way of this world, which is the sweet. What's initially sweet turns bitter. How many relationships that were formed between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, that were not based upon something deeper? And you look at them, okay, let's say Lahavdil, all this whole Hollywood scene, that whole industry of sheker, right? The whole industry of sheker, it's a $1 billion business, sheker. So how these people fall in and out of love, it's a pachad. Every single day in the newspaper, this is the latest romance in Hollywood, and these people can't stay away from each other. Mamish behemoth. They can't stay away from each other. And as fast as that began, so the next week, you know, like this, you know, there's a picture of how she looks after she was beaten by him, you know. And then she writes some autobiography describing the horrors of their relationship and why she left him and so on and so forth. Every single tabloid was describing the great love. The whole love is what? The whole love was of this world. The whole love has nothing to do with anything, with any davish beruach. There's nothing that comes from the world of or with an aleph that held the two people together. The whole relationship is or with an ayin. That's what's happening now, bichlal. And if it's happening in the non-Jewish world, it's seeping very steadily into our world as well. And if the relationship is based upon or with an ayin, then its end is bitter. If the relationship is based upon or with an aleph, then although there are haschalos koshes, but the end is very, very sweet. Avam ikan ve'elech yerv lechem ha-simcha. Ultimately, there'll be simcha. Ha-noam, the sweetness. Ha-or, the light. Ha-toiv, good. Menucha ha-amiti. True menucha. Efshe lahosug lekabel rak me'asiyas ritzoin avinu shebeshamayim kol echad ben yonav. It's only possible to the degree that a Jew looks for that in fulfilling the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in a life that is led by making that effort to connect to your neshama, to connect to the neshama. Kol echad ben yonav, Torah. Torah means to learn Torah on a deep level. On a deep level to learn Torah. It doesn't mean, I've often, you know, spoken about this, you know, to live a life that every Devar Torah you hear, the whole point of that Devar Torah is just to show that Pasuk Aleph and Beis can taka work out. That's every Devar Torah you ever heard, is just that Aleph and Beis work out, which we're happy about. None of us ever doubted that they would work out. And it's certainly wonderful to learn and to hear how the Pesukim work out. But if that's the whole Torah, many, many people grow up, that's all they hear. Some sharp thing or something like this, a good vart. But if the Torah is not one that's deep, if the Torah is lacking depth, then what's going to be with our generation? Our generation is much more sophisticated than our grandparents' generation. And the kids and ourselves are being exposed to much deeper ideas in the secular world. So don't you think it's happening to many of our children, that they begin to see the secular world as being deeper, God forbid, and more appealing? What's going to be with the generations being raised on this idiotic music? I'm talking about the Jewish music. So-called, it's not Jewish. The idiotic music I don't want to mention any names, and I want them to all have a nice parnasa. What's going to be with them? This idiotic music that's a cheap and silly impersonation of any Goyshe music, for whoever heard Goyshe music knows that. It's not even good. And to take some pusik and to put it to some stupid, ugly sound that comes from the street. So shallow and empty. So what's going to be? What's going to be? And the Torah is a Torah that's also shallow. So you go to another rabbi's speech, another rabbi's speech about the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara. That's all, the Yetzer Hara. I have a student of mine, a young woman years ago, she went there to sell to a certain place. And she was, you know, until she was able to get away from her house, her parents are anti-religious. Until she was able to go to Eretz Yisrael, it was a milchama, an unbelievable war. So she went to Eretz Yisrael, she went to a certain place. It happens to be, it's a nice place, a good place. But she went to this place, and she called me after a couple of weeks on the phone. She said, you know, I really think that some of these people need help. I said, what do you mean? She says, I don't want to describe it. She described it in a very open way. It's not nice, and I certainly don't want it to be on the tape. But she said, they have like all a one-track mind. I was hoping to learn something beautiful in the depths of, you know, Yiddishkeit. And all they keep on telling us in class is about how the Yetzer Hara is going to do this to us, the Yetzer Hara is going to do that to you, the Yetzer Hara is sneaking up on you, it's lurking behind your, you know, every single corner. And what do you want of the kids? If you don't show them how beautiful Yiddishkeit is, if you don't show them the depth of Yiddishkeit, and all you do is tell them to be afraid of the Yetzer Hara, so what kind of a Yiddishkeit is it anyway? Why shouldn't they listen to the Yetzer Hara if it's more exciting? What's compelling them not to listen to the Yetzer Hara? But if the Torah is a Torah that's deep and that's sweet and that's beautiful, that's fulfilling, so then ben kach or ben kach, the Yetzer Hara doesn't bother them. There's always the Yetzer Hara. But a person is armed. Ashrei misha gavoy mipshav. A Jew has to be higher than the Yetzer Hara. Not to fight with it all the time, but to be higher. So that's what he's saying. The Torah that a Jew learns has to be neshama de getayra. It has to be a Torah that speaks to the neshama. It's an emergency. We have to realize that. And you know that what I'm saying, in many circles of very fine Jews, they would make fun of it, they would laugh, and you know this whole thing is silly to them. And then everybody goes and shakes their head when there's another kid that's on the street. And you know something? Those kids want real Jewish music, the ones on the street. The ones on the street usually are not satisfied with the bop, bop, bop Jewish music. They're looking for Schleimann, for all the other things. They're looking for more. They're looking for something real. And they didn't get it in yeshiva. And they didn't get it necessarily at home. They're not shallow people. Most of the chevra, I discussed this with you last summer, most of the chevra are not shallow. Bechlal not. And if you say to them something, a real Torah, a deep Torah, they become mamish, they become on fire. And that's what they're looking for. But who are you going to talk to? There's nothing to talk to. Parents have to do that. Kalecha ben Yonif, Torah, Tefillah, Sur Meira, Asei Torah, ben Adam Lamakim, Adam Lachaveroi. Ben Adam Lamakim, Ben Adam Lachaveroi. Can we even talk about Ben Adam Lachaveroi? What does it mean to be a nice person, Bechlal? Who's giving shiurim? Who's talking Bechlal? So they'll make once a year some seminar on it, and you know, some organization will make a seminar on the subject of, you know, people getting along with each other. Vani kirvas elokim li toiv. Vani kirvas elokim li toiv. Closeness, David Melech said, closeness to Hashem, that is the best thing I have in my life. Nobody could take that from me. When it comes to things of this world, if you're depending upon your eyeshadow, no, you don't always have it. If you're depending upon, if a guy's depending upon that job, that panosa, that prestige, whatever it is, he might not always have it. Even the people that we depend upon. We don't know what one day brings and what the other day brings, we don't know. But kirvas elokim, closeness to Hashem li toiv. Vaharivna Hashem elokeinu zdivrei sarosche befinu, we daven every morning. Vaharivna, Hashem, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Kol harevis vahamasikis vetanugim hamiti merak me'avaydus Hashem. You know what it means? Make the Torah sweet in our mouths. Hashem, help us that Help us to enjoy a good piece of cake also, and help us to enjoy the sweetness of a child. But more than anything, Hashem, help us to taste and to enjoy the sweetness of being close to you, because if we taste that, then everything else also is sweet. Everything is sweeter, because that's the etzem of sweetness. Vani kirvas alukim li toiv. David Melchus is saying this is good. Tamu ruki toiv Hashem. This is good. It's not like it's not that there's a list of your 10 favorite things, and elukus, Yiddishkeit is number one. David Melchus didn't say that. He said vani kirvas alukim li toiv. Thus is thus. This is the definition of goodness. Kirvas alukim. That's Gan Eden in this world. Ki imcha mekor chayim ha'orcha nira ha'or. Ha'or nignas b'tayra avaydas Hashem is baruch. As the Baal Shem Tov said, that the hidden light of creation, that aleph, that or, is hidden in the Torah. We still have access. We still can reach it. K'mechele v'desh and tizba nafshi yisvosai renanos yahalol pi. That the Torah is mamish like a delicious, fat, wonderful delicacy that satiates, that fills me. V'chol inyone olam hazeh, but all of the inyonim of olam hazeh, inyonim hagashmiim heim b'chinas chayshech, it's darkness. Please don't make a mistake to think he's a chassid. He's not saying that we shouldn't have anything to do with this world. And I'm sure that I've mentioned to you in the past, and you've heard from elsewhere, that the saying of the Chassidim, when it says in the Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, right? That a Jew should fear God. So the Chassidim say, Es, eat, Abba Hashem Elokecha Tira, but be God-fearing, right? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. That what? That he's not saying that we should be deprived. Do you think the Baal Shem Tov didn't want Jews to enjoy? It's not true, and the Tzaddikim didn't believe in that, and that's not what they taught. Other Rabbi, a Jew is a ben melech, a bas melech, and deserves to have good things. Ella, if the physical shell of that good thing is what you see as goodness, and what defines and determines the goodness that you experience in your life, that's sad, because that's choshech. So you see, that has very little to do with how many Shomer Shabbos delicatessens there are. Because you could be a Jew that lives somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and the little bit of food that you have, even though you don't have the super duper deluxe pastrami burger, with the special spicy fries or something, even though you might have to subsist on a regular piece of food, if you are a Jew that's kirvas alakim li toiv, that's close to Hashem, it'll be delicious in your mouth. But with all the fancy foods that we now have, that the Jews are able to fress on the same things that anybody else can fress on, doesn't have the tam, doesn't have the taste. Like in Rabbi Nachman's story, the very wonderful story, part of one of the stories that about the poor couple, where the husband used to say to the wife, "Bring me my delicious special, like steak, fancy food," and all he ever had every day was he had a piece of bread and some beans. That's all that they could afford all of his life. So she would bring him the stale bread and the little bean, and he would say, "Ah, this steak is mamish delicious, atam gan eden. Now bring me my expensive wine." And she would put out a cup of water, and he would say, "This wine is from the yain hamishumer, from the hidden wine. And now I want to go outside a little bit to spatzir. My fur coat, please." Yeah. So he puts on this disgusting, torn thing that all the kishkas coming out that he's been wearing since his whole life. He says, this is the warmest, sweetest coat in the world. Jews once lived that way. Not everybody. Let's not kid ourselves. But more that way. Now, it's been a hapechu. Now, the fanciest fur coat feels like a shmata. The most delicious wine is worse than water. It doesn't have a taste. And the fanciest food in the expensive restaurant with all the hechsherim, everybody here knows that the fancier the wedding, the less time the food has. But if you go to an old style wedding, there's still a couple of those left, Baruch Hashem. You get a good piece of chicken with some stuffing, right? And a good piece of fish before, so geschmack, without any table set, without your name at your spot, right? Once they started putting your name at the, for a certain spot, already the food lost its time. And you know that. The other food tastes much better. When I go to the fancy weddings, I don't even know what I'm allowed to eat. I'll tell you the truth. Not because of the heksher. I'm not sure what's edible. When you look at the stuff on the table, you know what I'm talking about. You don't even know. I'm not sure if it's alive or it's dead. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to eat, bechlal. And I always ask. I always have to ask my wife or my daughter or someone that's there, what bechlal, what is this? I don't even know what it is. And there's not even a tam. There's kan tam. Even the food is just to show off, to decorate. Even the food is to make a statement of some sort. It's kan narishkeit. It's such an emptiness. Such an emptiness. It's hard to believe the Jews fall for it. It's hard to believe the Jews pay good Jewish money for that. Such shtusim and havala. And of course we all have to, because what are we going to do? We're going to deprive our children. Then the next one won't get a shidduch. If they hear that we didn't put some chapel of a statue on the table or something. Really something that, you know, I told this to my wife last night. Yesterday I had a very interesting day. In the morning I had to speak in a Hamish place, a very, very fancy, nice bungalow colony, for tzedakah inyan, to try to help something that a certain tzedakah that's very dear to me, and I tried to speak for them when I'm able to, and they asked me to, and I went gladly to do it. And I ended yesterday, I went to speak in Camp Hask to the staff, to the chevre, who mostly do not come from such Hamisha backgrounds. More what they would call moderne, right? Where I spoke yesterday morning, I never experienced in my life such as panel. I couldn't even talk. I stood up and people were standing right in front of me, this close, talking out loud about baseball. And this one was talking about something that he saw on the television. And I said, and the people who were arranging the whole thing were very embarrassed for me. And I said, Yidden, Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, out loud. I couldn't even see the people. Some people were just dumb walking around. I couldn't even talk. And I said, Yidden, Derech Eretz. I'm talking about tzedakah. So the guy says to me, I talk during davening. Why shouldn't I talk when you talk? That's what he said. That's how the day started. So at that point, you understand, I was prepared to drop everything and just to grab my family, run off to a commune someplace, and to try to sit by a river and say Tehillim or something. I don't know what I was going to do. And it was with me the entire day. I was really overwhelmed. Not as a personal pagi in my car. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. It was hard to believe the Jews that went to yeshiva could... I was thinking if any of their wives would have been there. If the wives would have been there, how embarrassed they would have been. And not only that, but nobody else said anything to them. And it wasn't that a few people just walked. Nobody even said anything. Even the few that were listening, nobody said anything. And I was looking around for help. And they're just like, you know, this is looking... But the day ended, Baruch Hashem. So I went to talk to the kids in Hask, who give up of their own free time in the summer. They're mostly working hard, the kids in school or whatever it is, and they give up their time to help unfortunate children. You should have seen. You should go see. And I was thinking, Rabbi Shalom, how do I take this 17-year-old boy, this 17-year-old girl, to be a Rebbe for that 45, 50-year-old grandfather who doesn't have an inkling of what's going on? And a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid. So unbelievable. And I thought of them afterwards, it was unbelievable, big nishamas. So there's hope for our people. But the Metzius is one that if you don't strengthen yourself, you could fall into despair. When you sit in a shul and you hear grown men saying, when someone gets in their leap, psh, 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 psh. Right, you know what I'm talking about? Or start calling out, kiddish, kiddish, and all this Irish kind. And acting like, and they're not, mostly it's not even funny, there's very few that have a sense of humor, b'chalal. And then you go to other people and you see them sit down, and there's a word of Torah, a word of tefillah, it's like a piece of candy in their mouths. It only comes from that. So the person in the morning, could have who knows what, a summer home that cost $500,000. And that kid that I was talking to at night might be living in some horrible little bunk with 10 other boys. And who has a chiyus in his life? Who has a simchas achayim? And who's the one that's krechsing, complaining, probably goes home and gives his wife a mishaberch too? If he doesn't listen to Asha, if he talks during davening, and he talks when some rabbi's talking, the only thing he talks when his wife is talking? Alachas kama v'kama. So what are you going to do? It's darkness. This whole world. That's what this world is. If that's all there is to you. It's an olam hazeh. Chazal say, which is like the night. When that person's physical life is misgabra on the neshama, when things of this world are more important to him than things of the other world, nasa yoyse b'chinas shalayla, means that your life is getting more night-like, it's getting darker. It looks to you like it's this great, now I have more light in my life because I have this new thing, but it's mamish the opposite. It's nasa yoyse b'chinas shalayla, it's darker. Doesn't have to be. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi at the end of his life held up his 10 fingers and said, "Rabbi Yisrael, you know he was the richest Jew in all of Eretz Yisrael." Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the prince, Rabbi Yehuda held up his 10 fingers before he died and said, "Rabbi Yisrael, you know that I didn't take any of the pleasures of this world for myself. You know that. Stam in an empty way." Nasi Yosef b'chinu shalayl b'yoyim achol chem yimenu. That's what happened when Adam and Chava ate from the tree. Shecheid ze koilol kolachatoyim, which that sin of the eating from the Eitz Hadas is the sin that includes in it all possible sins. Mois Thomas, that brings into your life a bitter taste of death. Achein ke Adam tumus. And that's exactly what happened when Adam and Chava ate from the tree. They brought death into their lives. And this was repeated by Har Sinai when we gave in to the Chet Egel, for whatever reason, that's not for now. When we had that opportunity by Maimed Har Sinai to reach that level of returning to the Tree of Life, returning to Gan Eden, and instead, once again, Achein Ke'odim Temusim, we fell into the darkness, into the deathliness of the Egel. Let's just read one more paragraph. Mikari milchemes amalek hu shegarim es garbus haguf. Milchemes amalek, the war with Amalek, which everybody knows is not just something that happened a long time ago. It's something that we're struggling with now. Hu shegarim es garbus haguf. Basically, the war of Amalek, as we understand it now, is... it's taken now the form. In history, it had different forms. Right now, it is this war that we're discussing here. What's more important to you in your life? If your physical life takes priority over your spiritual life, that means that you're losing to Amalek. That's it. V'yadum etzadikim shemelchemes Amalek u'melchoma tmidi. It's a continuous war. V'chol Yehudi prati v'chol dor yeshel melchemes Amalek. And every single Jew in every generation has his war with Amalek. Mulchama gedol, a great war. Mulchama l'Hashem v'Amalek midor dor. Va'ata oyef v'yageya. And the Torah tells us the power of Amalek. It causes a Jew to feel oyef v'yageya, tired, without energy, weary, unmotivated, unhappy. That is Amalek. His gabrus yisoid ha'ofer, it means the strength of the element of earth, of physical life. That's why it says korcha bederech, it cooled you off along the way to holiness. Krirus, it brings coldness, a davening with coldness, relationship with people that's cold, learning that's cold. Chotach milois v'zorkun klapay maile, you all know that Amalek made fun, mocked the Kedusha Sabris, the Brismila of the Jewish people. Amalek couldn't bear the Brismila, because we understand what Bris means. The bris means that my physical life is not as important to me as my spiritual life. That's what the bris means. That's what kedushas habris is. The simple power of kedushas habris is that I have cut away an obsession with physical life so that my neshama is more important to me than my body. That's why it's on the eighth day, which is the day beyond this world, beyond seven. That in every Jew there's this possibility that that light, that the body shouldn't be with the ayin, the skin, it should be the light with an aleph. That the or haneshama, that the light of the neshama should shine, should illuminate his entire life. And that the body will submit to the soul. Kaisna is or with an aleph. Nila is the hint of mal yud hei. Yud hei, which means to be able to take away what is bad, so that I should be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yud kei. Mal is the gematria ayin. It's the gematria mem lamed. It's 40 plus 30 equals 70. That's the ayin of or, of skin. To take away, right? That part. La'afeich kais nais or l'kais nais or. To transform the garments of skin to the garments of light. Rak ha'chela ka'or la'en yochel l'shapich. V'zegarim l'chol ha'guf. That part of the body, the orla, that's removed with the bris, is all that it embodies, that powerful physicality of this world. Orla oitem, it shuts off holiness. Ukshechoyschem zeh, yeshev shorus lahoyer or haneshama, when that's removed, then the light of the neshamas can possibly shine. Va'amolik nilchem nege kedushas ha'mila, that's why Amolik was so opposed to bris mila. Va'idei milchemes Amolik is garbus ha'guf megim la'atzlus va'atzlus. And Amalek has the ability to empower the body to bring us to the state of sadness and laziness. Be'etzev teldi banim banim zarim. Be'etzev, we have children, and the children are brought into this world also with sadness. Children who become strangers to us. Asher karcha, whose whole Yiddishkeit is cold. Loshen tuma. That's what's happening now. With everybody who's shayim Shabbos. V'chol shemagbirim karcha neshama. But to the extent that you strengthen the koyach of the neshama of the soul, loichamim im amalek, you are engaged in the war, you are fighting with amalek. Lekach, and every single second gives the Baruch Shalom Nachas Ruach in the fight also, as we learned. Lekach, therefore, avoidis chedesh ha'adar shemusugul anatzeach amalek. Obviously, this is the focal point of the work of the month of Adar and Purim, which is the war against amalek. Avoidis ha'simcha, that's why it's a month that has the capacity, which has the potential for infinite joy. Infinite joy is the month of Adar. V'naha peichu, asher yishlatu ha'yehudim. That the Jews, the neshama, instead of being controlled by the body, the neshama, the soul, the Jewish people, took hold and defeated Amalek. That's why it's a time of such unbelievable simcha. Lahag b'karech neshama marabin b'simcha. L'yehudim ha'isa ur v'simcha v'sasayin v'yikar. And Chazal say that sasayin joy zumil as brismil. Hasimcha shabah mi esgarbus karech haneshama, the joy that comes with the neshama being victorious. That's why after the whole Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we go with the lulav and esrog. Right? Chazal say like somebody who's coming back victorious from the battle, holding up the weapons. The lulav and esrog, right? The abraminim is like a weapon. Chazal say. That's after a Rosh Hashanah Kippur, after an elul. V'isama apterov, the amalek is gematria mar. And the Apterov, the Ovisol, said that Amalek is the same numerical value as the word Mar, which means bitter. Shayidei hisgabrus aguf, because if Amalek is victorious, then Afim tchiloso masok, even though in the beginning it tastes very sweet, Avol soifoi Mar, but in the end it's very bitter. So we're going to continue Bez Hashem next week to learn more and more how to infuse more of this energy and more of the sweetness and simcha into our lives, and to be able to be more empowered and feel the strength of tshuva, of elul, of Hashanah Kippur, as it becomes more and more part of our lives as we get closer to Yom Tov. Shukran.